Today's shiur is Masechta Shavuos, Daf Yud Zayin. We will begin on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis, five lines on the bottom, from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah that if somebody remains in the base of Migdash after he comes Tamei, as we discussed in the previous shiur, Shir Hashtachavah, the amount of time it takes to bow down, the halach is that he becomes Chayiv if it was B'shoigig, a carbon oil of Yoyrit. So the Gemara now begins to define what is, we find different situations of bowing down in the Chumash and in the Gemara. Kida, says the Gemara, when we have the word Kida, it means alapayim. As the Rishonim explain, what it means is somebody bowing down, standing with his face touching the floor, which most Mefarshim say actually is quite difficult. Keno Omer, as the Pasuk says, V'tikad basheva apayim oretz. Kriya is albekayim, bowing with the knees. V'kenu oimer mechroya albarachav. Hishtachavah, which is what we discussed in our Mishnah, supishe daim reglaim. It refers to one prostrating himself completely on the earth. V'kenu oimer, as the Pasuk says, the Yaakov Avinu said to Yosef, So I saw the Meretz Chai, says beautiful pshat. He says there are many psukim that speak about Ishtachavah being on the Oretz. Why does the Gemara from all those psukim specifically choose this pasuk? So he says as follows. He says Yaakov Avinu said this pasuk in response to the dream that Yosef repeated that he saw the Shemesh v'Yireach v'Echad Osa K'chavim Mishtacha v'Mli. Yosef didn't say the word Oretz. Yosef just said the words Mishtacha v'Mli. Yaakov, in his response to Yosef, used the words that our Gemara just said, L'shtacha v'Yis L'cha Oretza. Where did Yaakov take Oretza? Yosef didn't say Oretza, because from here we see that the definition of the word Hishtachava is Oretza, and therefore, this is the best raya to that point. By Rava. So now Rava asks about the following situation. Tzorach shiel amalkas or ain't tzorach shiel amalkas? We've been discussing till now, but somebody remained in the Beis HaMikdash after he became Tamei. He became Tamei as he was in the Azara, as we discussed. The Sheret spoke, touched him or whatever. And if he remains there, how much time does it remain there to be Chayiv? A common oil of Yairit. Here we're speaking about a case where it was bemazed. So the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara is that the person entered the Beis HaMikdash, he wasn't Tamei. Because if he entered the Beis HaMikdash when he's Tamei, the act of entering in itself makes you Chayiv. Here he didn't enter Tamei, but he did become Tamei, and he knows he's Tamei. And the question of the Gemara is it considered Shiel Amalkas, is it considered that how much is the shear that we've been discussing applicable here? Tzorach Shiel Amalkas, is the shear of Shia apply here, or ain't it Tzorach Shiel Amalkas? Why? Says the Gemara. Lekarbon, when our Mishnah spoke about the shear, Lekarbon Gemira Shear, to be Chayiv Karbon Oil of Yoyrid, which is a situation of Shoigig, that's where it is the shiurim that we discussed. However, Lamalkus lo gemiri shia, there's no shear stated. Adilma befnim gemiri shia, any time where somebody remains in the azara being tamei, there's the shear loishdal lekarbon, loishdal lamalkus. It makes no difference if he's going to be chayiv a carbon or chayiv a malkus, and the gemara remains with a tekel. A number of points to be made in understanding this gemara. Firstly, as the Rishonim point out, actually, the punishment for somebody being in the Azara, in the Beis HaMikdash as Tomei, is Kares, not Malkus. However, the Rishonim point out, and we discussed this at length in Masechta Malkus, that if somebody's Chayiv Kares, but he gets Malkus, it absolves him of that Chayiv. And that's what the Gemara here is referring to, that he was Tomei B'mezid, would Malkus be able to cover that Chayiv? What's the Shear? One point. Another point that the Tosfos makes, is that the Gemara is discussing here what is the shear. if the shit that we've been speaking about, Kedei Ishtachavah, applies by Mezer or not. Says Taisus and Machlokes Rishayim around this issue, that's not to say that if we say that the shear of Kedei Ishtachavah doesn't apply, that there is no shear at all. Taisus says there's certainly going to be a minimum shear. The minimum shear would be the amount of time it takes to walk in to the Azara. The only question is that the shear of Kedei Ishtachavah is a longer shear, and the Gemara's question is that longer shear applicable, or the shorter shear, just the amount of time it takes to enter the applicable shear? That's how Tosfos learns. The Ramban disagrees, and Ramban says that according to the Tzad and Al Gemara that there is no shear, since this was done b'mezid, it's considered a full-fledged Isser immediately without any shear. That's what that side of the question would hold. But then the Rishonim ask another question. We learned in Masechta Malkus that for a lav she'ein by Maisa, there is no Malkus. And here we're referring to a lav she'ein by Maisa. He's just standing there, even if it's b'mezid. So how could the Gemara suggest that there's a chi of Malkus? So obviously the easy teretz is that our Gemara is going according to the opinion that says that for lav she'ein by Maisa, we do get Malkus. But other Rishonim, Tosfos says this teretz, say a very interesting point. They say, what is considered a lav she'ein by Maisa? A lav she'ein by Maisa is only considered a lav that has absolutely no Maisa involved with it. Here, there is a Maisa involved. His walking in, nobody starts off in the Azara. He had to walk into the Azara. So that is a situation of a Maisa. Even though that isn't the Aveira, because as I said, when he walked in, he wasn't Tameh, or he wasn't aware he was Tameh. Still, there is an element of Maisa here. And since there's an element of Maisa, that's why it's not considered a lav she'ein by Maisa. Similarly, the Rishonim ask, that we've discussed many times that to be chayiv, Malkus, to be chayiv for Mezid, you have to get a Hasra. So they ask, why is this not considered a situation of a Hasra Sufik? Why? Because let's understand, if we say the shear of Shtachavah, just for the sake of this discussion, is 5 minutes. So ask the Rishonim, if that's the shear, so if I give this person Hasra, don't remain here 5 minutes. I don't know if he's going to be here the whole 5 minutes. He may walk out in a half a minute. So why is that not considered Hasra Safik? So again, some Rishonim say that Al-Gemara is going according to the opinion that Hasra Safik is still considered Hasra. Ritva gives an interesting teretz. Ritva says that Al-Gemara is referring to a situation where the person is standing right by the door. And we learned in the previous shear, and we're going to learn later in our shear, that how much is the shear, the amount of time it takes to walk out the fastest way. Here, he could be out in a second. And therefore, it's not considered a situation of Asra Safik. Ask the Gemara another question. Boy Rava, Tala Atzma Ba'avir Azara. Somebody suspended himself on a pole in the Azara. Will the shear that we've been discussing apply or not? Why? Says the Gemara. Chigamir is Shia de Basta Shachava, only regarding a place where you could bow down, but if suspended in the air, you can't bow down. The La Basta Shachava, but if it's not a place where you could bow down, Loigamiri, all of these Shiurim don't apply. Adumma, Shia, Bifnim Shia Gamiri, there's this Shir inside the Azara, Loishna de Bashia, Veloshna the Basa Shtachva, it makes no difference if you're in a place where you could bow down, or Veloshna the La Basa Shtachva, or it makes no difference if you're in a place where you can't bow down, the shear remains the shear, and again, the Gemara remains with a taikum. So it's a very fundamental machloikas Rishonim how to understand the Gemara's question. The Rambam explains that the Gemara's question here is, does the Avir of the Azara have Kedusha or not? That's how the Rambam learns the Gemara's question. Tosfos disputes that. Because Tosfos says there is no question that the Avir of the Azara has Kedusha. And therefore, the way most Mepharshim explain, as we explain the Gemara's question, it has the Kedusha, but it's not a place where bowing is possible. And therefore, the Gemara wants to know if a shear, which has no meaning, no practical meaning, could apply under such circumstances. The Shalom Meshiv, has a very nice way of explaining this question according to Taisvus. He says like this, again, As Tosfos says, certainly the Avir of the Azara has the Kedusha of the Azara. What is the Gemara's question based on? The Gemara's question is based on the following, he says. How do we look at the Avir of the Azara? Do we look at the Avir of the Azara as an extension of the Azara? Or do we look at the Avir of the Azara as an independent area? What's Pshat? He says as follows. If we look at it as an extension of the Azara, so if the Azara has the shear of Kadesh Dachava, so too would be the shear in the Avir Azara. But if we look at the Avir of the Azara as an independent place, so the shear for the floor of the Azara has nothing to do with the Avir Azara, may have a different shear, and therefore we can't learn one from the other. So as I said, Tosfos and most Rishonim are of the opinion that the Avir of the Azara has the din of Azara. So Rishonim make a very interesting point, and it's going to come clear to us as we get towards the end of the shir. They say as follows. In the Azara, in the Beis HaMikdash compound, there are buildings that have a roof, a regular building, the Beis HaMikdash, and then there's the open areas. So they say, very interesting, a place that's a building, the Kedusha only goes up to the roof. We're going to learn towards the end of the shir that the Gagin, the roofs of the Beis HaMikdash, loy niskatshu, don't have that Kedusha. On the other hand, a place that's meant to remain open, like the Azara, the courtyard, there the Kedusha goes up at Shemayim. And where does this question come up? It's a question that comes up, we know, we just discussed it as recently as in the previous year, that one, nowadays, is not allowed to walk into the Makom HaMikdash, into the what's known as the Temple Mount. Only allowed to go up to the Kaisel HaMaravi. So the question is somebody allowed to travel in a plane over the Beis HaMikdash? Because if we say that the Kedusha of the Azara goes all the way up, and we're not allowed to enter into that Kedusha, we would not be allowed to travel in a plane or in a helicopter or whatever over the Makom HaMikdash. It has nothing to do with Kohanim. It's every Jew would not be allowed to travel. And that is indeed the psak of most Paiskim, that a Jew should refrain from traveling over the Har HaBayis. In fact, there's a very famous story which Sir Moses Montefiore was given permission to enter the Har HaBayis, and he went in some sort of a glass box, and the Rabbanim in Yerushalayim at that time, of Shmuel Salant, and other Gedolei Yerushalayim were very upset at him, and he accepted upon himself that he did the wrong thing. One is not allowed to enter that area under any circumstances. Says the Gemara. Boy Ravashi, Tamei Atzma B'Mezid. If somebody made himself Tamei B'Mezid, that means he was in the Makom HaMikdash, and he purposely becomes Tamei. What is the halacha regarding the shir? Do we say Ba'oinis Gemiri Shia? The shir we've been discussing is only Ba'oinis. B'Mezid Lo Gemiri Shia. We haven't discussed what is the halacha B'Mezid. Adilma, or perhaps a fnim gemiri shia, the shia applies when somebody's in the Makom HaMikdash, loishna b'meizav, loishna b'aynas, loishna b'meizav, and makes no difference if it happened b'aynas or b'meizav, and here too the Gemara remains with a taker. So I saw that the Mepharshim, the Rishonim already asked this question. Why does the Gemara say aynas? The Gemara should have said shagig. We've been discussing that b'shagig is the shia. And the Gemara wants to know if that shear also applies b'mezid. Why doesn't the Gemara say shogig and use the word einus? So first, they say a very deep thought. They say the issue of being betuma in the Makom HaMikdash in the Azara is not that you're tamei. It's the issue that you're making the Makom HaMikdash tamei. So if somebody did it b'shogig, the Makom HaMikdash becomes tamei b'einus. Not that it had a choice. And that's why the word einus is more appropriate than the word mezid. Another question. We know that halacha is that a nazir is not allowed to become tamei. And the way the Rambam and many Rishonim explain this Gemara's question is as follows. If a nazir is transported in a cemetery, in a closed box, completely closed box, the halacha is, that's fine. Now ask the Gemara, Boyer Vashi, nazir bekever. And now somebody opens up that box. He's exposed in the cemetery. So, boy Sheila Malkus, is there a shear or not? Why? What's the Gemara's question? Bifnim gemiri shear. Is it only in the Makom HaMikdash that we have the shear? Here we're not talking about b'chutz. We're not talking about the shear. Idoma ba'aynis k'miri shear. It makes no that this shear was said when this happens b'shagig, and it makes no difference who is the individual loishna b'fnim if it has to do with somebody being on the makam amigdash, or loishna b'chutz it has to do with a nos becoming tamei, and the gemara brings with a teiku. Tosus points out that the question here is strictly regarding remaining there b'mezid and getting malchus. But it has nothing to do with carbon. Because Tosfos explains that even though a nazir that becomes tameh is obligated to bring a carbon, says Tosfos, the obligation for a nazir to bring such a carbon is only because that's what's required for him to start his naziris all over again. It has nothing to do with a kapara for the aveira becoming tameh. And therefore, there is no chiv carbon here that's under discussion. There is, however, chiv malchus of a nazir becomes tamei b'mezid, and that's what the issue that the Gemara addressed with was. So we learned in the Mishnah, bala baruch chayiv, if somebody went out of the Beis HaMikdash when he became tamei, he took a long path. He's chayiv, even it was b'shagig, he's chayiv carbon oil b'yared. But if he took the shortest path and he became tamei b'shagig, he's potter. Amar Rava, says Rava, Tzarish Amru, when the Mishnah spoke about if he goes out on the shortest path, he's potter, it's a filu ekeb tzar goydel. He walks out very slowly, the heel next to the toe, very slow. So it takes him a very long time to walk out, it makes no difference. But filu kolayem kulan, therefore even if it took him a whole day to walk out, as long as he took the shortest path, it's fine. Ask the Gemara, by Rava, Shias mashi yitzdarfu. What's the halacha if he stopped and went? Stopped and went. Will those stops be mitzdarf? Ask the Gemara. V'tifshle m'didai. Why don't we bring a raya from what Rava said? Rava said that if you walked out all day, you're potter. So it's a raya that the different stops and starts aren't mitzdarf. Answers the Gemara, that's not that situation. Hasan b'dalosha. There it's referring to a situation where he didn't stop. He walked the whole time. He's just walking very, very slowly. But it could well be in a place where he stopped and started, the halach is that he would be chayiv. So I saw a fascinating chazanish. The chazanish says that a situation where somebody walked out in such a way, stopped and started, b'mezid, he should certainly be chayiv malchus. He should certainly be chayiv malchus because of a sfek sfeika. Why? He says, number one, there's a suffix, as we learned previously in our shir, that could be that you're b'mezid, you're always chayiv malchus. That the shiurim don't apply when it's b'mezid. That's a gemara that we said before. We don't have an answer to that question. V'em tim tzolaymer. Even if you'll say that you're potter, because the shear applies, even b'mezid, but could be that if you stopped and started, the different shears are mitzdarif. So we have a svek sveka to be chayiv malchus. So why doesn't the Gemara say so? Says the Chazanish a gaval de gavart, that even though there's a svek sveka pointing in the direction that you should be chayiv malchus, we don't say a svek sveka to give a Jew malchus. And unless we can be certain that he's chayiv malchus, he doesn't get malchus. Ask the Gemara further. Boy b'nei Abaye v'Rava. What would be the halacha, says, he asks, Bala barucha shiik tzara. Somebody took the longer path. But he took the longer path, but he walked very quickly. Mao, shiik gemiri. Is it dependent on the amount of time? And therefore, even though he walked out of the longer path, but he ran, and therefore even taking the longer path, it didn't take him any longer. Going back to our example that we learned earlier in the shir. Let's say the shir is 5 minutes. And he was able to go on the long path, but he ran, and he got out in 5 minutes. He'll be potter. Maybe the way to understand the Mishnah is Baruch HaChayiv, B'Ktzara Potter. So ask the Rishonim, why not from what Rava says, is there no clear raya that it certainly depends on what path you took? Because what did Rava say? Rava said, let's say you walked on the short path, but you walked extremely slowly, and it took you a whole day, you potter. So isn't it obvious from Rava It has nothing to do with speed. It has to do which path you chose. So why doesn't Abaye bring a raya from what Rabbi said? There's so two answers in the Rishonim to this question. One answer is a fairly simple answer. Abaye wasn't aware of what Rabbi said. Were Abaye aware of Rabbi's din, he would have an answer to this question. But other Rishonim, the Rashba, says a very beautiful teretz. He says the way to understand the Gemara is as follows. Certainly when it comes to the short path, the halacha is if you take the short path, even though it takes you a whole day, because you're walking very slowly, you're potter. No questions about it. Now Abaye is asking a new question. On the long path, you are chayiv, as the Mishnah and the Gemara have been teaching us. What does that mean? Doesn't mean that if you went on the long path, it makes no difference how quickly you walk. You're chayiv. That's one way of understanding it. Or could be to be chayiv for the long path, you have to have two requirements. Number one, obviously you have to be walking on the long path. And on top of it, it has to take you the time it takes to walk on the long path. And in the absence of any of those two conditions, you will not be chayiv. That's Abaye's question. Lomdish. That's the way Rashba explains the Gemara. Amaloi. So to which he responds, by nitna rucha litchis etzlai. You cannot walk on the long path. If you walk on the long path, it makes no difference. If you did it quickly, you're going to be chayiv. Ask the Gemara, Maskula Rav Zeira, El de Kaimalon, the Aloch is, Tomei Sheshimesh B'misa. The Aloch is, that if a Kain who's Tomei does the Avoida, he's Chayiv Misa B'dei Shemayim. And as we've learned many times, particularly in Masechta Sanhedrin, the punishment of Misa B'dei Shemayim is a lot less severe than the punishment of Karis. So if the Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin teaches us that if a kohen who's tamei did avoida, when he's tamei he's chayiv misa b'dei shemayim, it must be a situation that he's not chayiv karis. Because if he's chayiv karis, why does the Mishnah have to teach us he's chayiv misa b'dei shemayim? As I just said, karis is so much more severe. So now the Gemara wants to understand, heich mishkatzla, exactly what is the circumstance that Mishnah is referring to? Idelai shah, if he walked out immediately, as the halach is, so heich aver avoida. Where's the avoida that he did? If, on the other hand, the shah, he remained there longer than the shir allows him to, and he did it b'mezid, so then he's about karasu. He's chayiv karas. And if he's chayiv karas, then he won't be chayiv misa b'dei shemayim, as I said. So what is the case? So he continues developing his point. Iyam b'shlamash shiur gemiri. If we said that when we speak about the long path and the short path, we're not talking about a specific path when we speak about the long path. We're talking about a frame of time. Now we can understand it. Mishkachsle, the honest nafshe b'ktsara, that he took time, and let's say, back to our example, walking out on the short path would take 5 minutes. So he has up to 5 minutes. So he did the avoida, let's say it took him 2 minutes. And the path that should have taken him 5 minutes, he walked in 3 minutes. The honor Navshibik Tzara, he walked quickly, Bavar Avoida. Eli Amrit. But if you're going to say it has nothing to do with it has nothing to do with amount of time. It has to do with the fact that he walked there, Eli Amrit, Dafka Kamiri, Hechem Shkachsla. If he walked in the short path, he's Potter. And if he walked on the long path, he's going to be chayiv karis, not misa b'dei shemayim. Says the Gemara, my kasha, what is your question? Mishkachsla. He walked out on the short path. So since he walked out on the short path, kagan shababak tzori, he walked out on the short path, he's not going to be chayiv karis. But while he's walking out, for hapach b'tzenura, he gave a mish of some meat that was burning, and that's why he's chayiv for somebody tamei doing an avoida, but the chiyuv is not karis, the chiyuv is misa b'dei shemayim. Four says the Gemara, ukad Rav Huna, damar Rav Huna taught us, zor shesh hapach b'tzenura, if a zor gives a mish on some meat, chayiv misa. Although, the Rishonim make a number of very important points in understanding this Gemara. Number one, they say that the Gemara, why did the Gemara have to come up with this case that he gave a mish with the meat? Why couldn't he just said the easier case? Zrika Saddam, that as he's walking out, he gives a spritz of the blood. Or Halacha, when an avodah says he did halacha, and as he's walking out, he does halacha. Why did the Gemara have to pick this avodah? So we should answer, because the Gemara wants to teach us that this avodah is, that this is also considered an avodah. We would think that just stirring the pot is not considered an avodah. Teaches us, Rav, that it is considered an avodah. That's what the Gemara is trying to teach us. However, the Rishonim and the Achronim make the following comments. Since it's not an essential avodah, the halacha is that it doesn't have to be done. And still, Yisrael is chayv if it's done. But where is it relevant? It's relevant to two questions that I saw. We know, the Gemara mentions it in many places, specifically in Masechet Yuma, that all of the different avodahs that were done with kabbonis, they had a lottery system, a pious. Which kind would do the avodah? Did they have a pious for this, for stirring the pot? So Rishonim say, since stirring the pot is not an essential avodah, so there the halacha is that you don't have a pious. You only have a goyel for something that must be done. Zrika, kabbalah, halacha. This must not be done. They didn't have a goyel. Another interesting shaila is as follows. We know that if a zor does the avodah, besides that the zor is chayiv mitzvah, it disqualifies the avodah. That means, well, mitzvah shem lor mesech tzvachim. Were a zor to do zrikas adam, the carbon becomes possible. What would be the halacha if the zor mixed the pot, stirred the pot on a piece of meat? Will that piece of meat become disqualified? Most Rishonim, and this is what it seems to be the opinion of the Rambam, say it won't become possible. Because it only becomes possible by an essential avoida. Even though our Gemara, we're going to explore this more in a moment, does call this an avoida, it's not an avoida to the degree that it would disqualify the meat that was stirred. Again, Amar Rav Huna, Zor Shehapa B'Tznura, Chayiv Misa. Says the Gemara, Gufa Amar Rav Huna, Zor Shehapa B'Tznura, if a zor stirs the meat, chayiv misa. Ask the Gemara, hey chidami, exactly what is the circumstances that we're discussing? If he were not to stir it, it wouldn't become burnt. Pshita, that's considered an avoida. If he were not to stir it, it would anyway get burnt. So then the question is, my covered, what has he accomplished? Answers the Gemara, is referring to a situation that were he to not stir it, it would take it 2 hours to cook. But now, it happens in 1 hour. And our Gemara is teaching us to call Kruvi Avoida, doing anything to make the Avoida happen quicker, Avoida he. And in fact, I saw that the Avni Nezer uses this Gemara to say that the same is in Shabbos. We know, this is very relevant, la'aloch l'maisa, we know that let's say somebody puts up the pot of cholent. And when you put up the pot of cholent, certainly by the time you come home, it's cooked that it's edible. But cholent is a food that's mitstamik v'yofaloi. It gets better as it gets more cooked. Or let's say it's not completely cooked, even though it's edible. The halacha is if somebody's magus, if somebody stirs it, it's chayiv. Question is, if you're going to leave that pot of cholent on the oven all night, it's going to get cooked anyway. So what have you done? From here we see that even if it would have gotten cooked anyway, anything that makes it happen quicker is considered an avoida, and similarly regarding Hilchos Shabbos, it's considered a ma'aseh bishul. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Yoshiya, Bina de'ema milsa, says Rav Yoshiya, I want to make a statement. However, Mr. Finim Chavraya, I'm concerned to make the statement, but I'm going to say it anyway. He says, we know that halacha is that if a house has tzaras on it, if a house has become identified as a house with tzaras, somebody who goes into it becomes tummy. So he makes the following statement. Hanichnas l'bayis ha'nuga darach ha'churv, if somebody walks into the house backwards, even if he entirely enters the house, except for his nose, that means the nose would be the last thing to enter the house if you're walking backwards, because that's what's protruding, you tar. Because the pasuk says, to be considered tameh, you had to walk in derech bi asr Torah. The Torah says it's only if you walked in the normal way. So what's he scared about?
So why is the nose important?
Because the nose is the last to come in. If you're walking backwards.
But the whole part is that he's walking backwards. Nothing.
So, because Mr. Finn Mechavrayu, what got some concern? If that's the case, kulainami. So what's the difference if the nose is sticking out? That he's saying only because the nose is sticking out. That's why you're not tameh. But if your nose were inside, then you are tameh. Why? You walked them backwards. Answers the Gemara. Amarava, kula lagar mekalim. Once the entire body is in the house, it's no different than how keli defines itself in a house. Lagar mekalim shabayis, the ksiv lo yitama kala shabal bayis. Anything that's in the house is tameh. So why do we try to explain the Gemara that there are two categories? There's one category of things that are in the house. And there the halach is, the things are in the house. It makes no difference how those things got into the house. The halach is that anything that's in the house is tamei. But there it has to be completely in the house. Then there's another din, that if you enter the house, you're tamei. But if you enter your house, and you walked in the normal way, even though not all of you is in the house, you're tamei. Why? Because we have a concept that we say throughout the Torah, Ruba Kekulon. But if you walked in backwards, where you don't have all of you in the house, and you didn't enter Derech Bia, going to be Pata. Beautiful verse that I saw based on this Gemara. We all know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a very strong statement to Moshe Rabbeinu, you will not go into Yisrael. Yet we all know, Parshas Vaschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu, davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ebrin no be'artzecha, allow me to go in. Farshim asked, Moshe Rabbeinu knew what Hashem said. He was very firm about it. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu davening? There are many pshatim. This is one pshat. And if you think about the lashon of the pasuk, the wording of the pasuk, Ebra no be'artzecha. What kind of wording is Ebra? He said, Avi la'artzecha. What's Ebra? So the Farshim say a very interesting pshat. Moshe Rabbeinu knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you can't enter Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu knew, however, that what does our Gemara define as entering? Derech Bia. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know what? I'll go in backwards. Ebrona! I want to go in backwards. Which would not be a violation of what you said, because our Gemara says that Derech Bia means only if you walk in frontwards, not backwards. Continues the Gemara. Tanya Nami Hachi, the same concept. Gagar HaLolu, on the roof of the base of Migdosh, Ein Oichem Shem Kotchim Kotchim, Vein Shachtim Shem Kotchim Kalim. They don't have the Kedusha. I referred to this earlier in the shir. But Tameh Shenichnas Derech Gagan L'Heichel. The halach is, as we've been learning, that somebody Tameh may not enter the base of Migdash. But if he walked in through the roof, it's Potter. Shenemra, V'la Migdash L'Sova, Derech Bia Asra Torah. It's only Derech Bia. Walking in from the roof is not a normal Derech Bia. And therefore the Chiv Karas of walking in when you Tameh were not to apply. Even though Al Gemara says that the Gagin of the Beis HaMikdash aren't Kadosh, the Bi'ar Locha quotes Mordechai that discusses a Shaila, what are you allowed to do on the roof of a shul? Let's say somebody wants to, question comes up in Eretz Yisrael, let's say somebody wants to hang the laundry on the roof of a shul. And the Bi'ar Locha quotes the Mordechai that even though Al Gemara says that the Gagin don't have the Kedusha, that's even by the Beis HaMikdash, still to do something publicly that is not to cover the Beis HaKnesses is not permitted. Interestingly, there's another Shaila, the Marsham says. He says, he discusses the following situation. There was a shul. There was a very tall structure. And they needed to expand the shul. So what they had originally was that the shul, the floor was one level, and in the back was the Ezra Snoshim, and the front was the men's shul. What they wanted to do was make the entire bottom of the shul the men's section, and then build a balcony for the Ezra Snoshim. So the question is, if the Kedusha of the shul, we say, goes up to the roof, is that considered taking the place and making it an Ezra Snoshim, a lowering of the level of the Kedusha? So he says that even, and Paskins, that even though the Kedusha certainly goes to the roof, taking an area that wasn't used and now making it into a useful area for Ezra's Noshim is anything the opposite of a lowering of the level of Kedusha and is certainly permissible. Continues the Gemara. Zui mitzvah shev shemigdash ein chayov in alay. We learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah made a sort of ambiguous statement that this is the we know there's halacha. We're going to discuss this mitzvah Shem Masech Tahoris. That if Sanhedrin issues erroneous psak, and then they realize that they made an error, the halacha is you have to bring a parahelm dovish al tzibur. Kohen Gadol does that. You have to bring a parahelm dovish al Kohen Gadol. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah makes some sort of a contrast without going into details. That the cases that we've been discussing of somebody tamei entering the Beis HaMikdash, somebody tamei eating kodesh, is a situation where parahelm dovish shel tzibur would not be brought, whereas somebody who has relations with a nida based on a erroneous psak of Beis Din is a case where parahelm dovish shel tzibur would be brought. But the Mishnah says zuhi. This is the case. To what is the Mishnah referring? Says the Gemara, Hechi kame, to what Mishnah, to what statement is the Mishnah referring the kame zuhi, that the Mishnah uses the statement zuhi? Answers the Gemara, Hasim kai. It's going to the Gemara that I just referred, the Mishnah that I just referred in Masech Tahoris. The Mishnah says in Masech Tahoris, Ein chayav ar asev lo yisasei shebemindash. There's no chiyah parahelm dover shel tzibur for the essay and the leisa say of eating kodesh or entering the Beis HaMikdash. Then mevim ashm tali. We know that halacha is if somebody has a suffix, a question if he did an aveira, he brings an ashm tali until he ascertains what happens. Then mevim ashm tali al essay of a leisa say shem HaMikdash. Why? So as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, because when is there a chiyah of an ashm tali? And when is there a chiyah of a parahelm dover shel tzibur? Only in a situation where if you did such an aveira b'shoigeg, you chayev a karm chattas. Whereas, as we've been learning from the beginning of the Masechta, in this case, if you did the aveira b'shoigeg, you chayev a karm oil of a yoyrit, the din of parhelm dovish otzibur was not said in a case where the chayev karm b'shoigeg as a oil of a yoyrit. Aval chayovim, where would you be chayev a parhelm dovish otzibur? Al esev aloy sese shabanida. And similarly, the comma, and that's what our Mishnah is saying. Zui mitzvah say shem migdash. This is the say shem migdash she'en chayovin aleha, that you're not chayav parahelm davish tzibur. Veizei mitzvah say shem nida. What is the situation by nida shechayavin aleha that you would be chayav a carbon parahelm davish tzibur if Sanhedrin gave an incorrect psak? The case is, somebody's having relations with a woman who's not a nida. Vamalai, and during the act, she says to him, Nitmesi, or Pirish Miyad, and instead of waiting till his aver becomes limp, he goes out immediately, Chayev. Why? Because the act of leaving is considered the same as the act of the Bia, and therefore, since he did it under such circumstances when she's already in nida, he's chayiv, and if Beis Din gave such a psak erroneously that you're allowed to go out that way, he'd be chayiv, Beis Din would be chayiv parahelm dovish tzibur. Again, to repeat, I mentioned it when we learned the Mishnah. The Ask from the Raisa, Rabbi Yosef Engel explains, b'nei shi'tziyosa hanolok b'yosoi, that unlike all other aveiras, where the aveira is the act of the aveira, says here from our Gemara, it's clear that the in Bia, it's not the act which is the Aveira, it's the Hanor that's the Aveira. And therefore, going out under those circumstances represents Hanor, and that's why it's considered a Mais Aveira. The Stipler disagrees. The Stipler says that even though the Gemara uses the words Hanor, the way to understand the Gemara, he says, is that we understand Bia is the Knisa. But no, halachically, Yitzia is considered an act of Bia, and whatever Chiv there is by Knisa, there is also by Yitzia.
Scheinberg was at the Aguda.